The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My name is Seth Kushner. I am with the Gary Cantrell from the Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Gary does a lot of videos and all the stuff behind the scenes, but it's time that he got out in front of the scenes because Gary's a huge wrestling fan, and I like wrestling. I don't watch it all the time. I watch all the premium events and everything, and we've been talking, and you know, I felt like Bubba's podcast, you know, catalog could use a little wrestling, and not where we talk about Raw and SmackDown every single week and break that down. Like, that could, you know, be ad nauseum, but you know, we've got WrestleMania coming up. Gary's going. This could be, I mean, they say it every year, it's going to be the biggest one ever. This seems like it has the capacity to be a massive one. So Gary, first of all, thanks for doing this with me, man. And you're going to Philly, dude. How you feeling right now?
Well, I'm feeling pretty excited. I've been to, the last WrestleMania I was at was 2019, so right before the pandemic, and I haven't been to one since, but this is by far the hottest WrestleMania that I'll be going to yet, because all the other ones that I've been to were kind of in that like down period as far as, like, you know, the product was not super hot. So it'll be nice to be around a crowd that's going to be really into it and a lot of great stories.
So what is it that people, you know, you and I know what's going on. The Rock's back. I mean, Cody Rhodes, they've got, I just couldn't even, you know, I don't even know who's going to come back at WrestleMania, if it's going to Stone Cold, John Cena. You know, there's just so many possibilities right now. But, you know, what do people need to know about wrestling right now compared to maybe where it was 5-10 years ago? Because it's completely different.
It really is. We're really seeing the next boom period. You know, anytime you watch those documentaries on Peacock or internationally on the WWE Network, they always talk about the Monday Night War. And the time that WWE went head up against WCW, it was the hottest time in the business. You have ECW in there. And, you know, everything around 96 on, really, that's when WCW came out with the NWO. And WWE in 98, that's where they took over and they started really catching fire and becoming the truly hotter product. So try to make it very simple. It's like, 2 years ago, Cody Rhodes came back to the WWE, and I can't give all the credit to him. Logan Paul, I think, is a big part of that. I know I'm going to get a ton of heat for that.
No, he's great. I think anybody that has actually watched Logan Paul wrestle gives him all his flowers for it. They might think he's a douche. They might, you know, hate his brother, but I think everybody that's watched him knows that the guy was born to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Lummy, Rhett. They know how much I'm in, like, the YouTube culture and the all the YouTube, you know, algorithm and all that stuff. I could tell, like, when all these YouTubers who never talked about WWE were, like, posting that they were at SummerSlam or posting that they were at WrestleMania, I could definitely tell there was, like, this culture shift of, like, we're getting more people involved now. And so where I really think this is going, it's like 2 years ago when Cody came back, that was kind of like WWF's 1996, and they were like slowly starting to figure things out, like the end of 96 into the early 97. And now we're into 1998, what I feel is going to be like 1998, where the product has really hit like this fever pitch. You have the Final Boss. This is a character The Rock has never done before. And everybody compares it to Hollywood Rock, but it's completely different. And you have a lot of guys getting hot, telling good stories, and they're all kind of rising in popularity. Rhea Ripley, just a ton of
Triple
people.
Do you give, now, obviously, now here's the thing. Vince McMahon's kind of been, you know, he's been in and out of there for a while, mostly yeah. out of it. Triple H has kind of, you know, finally, you know, taken reins of this organization and, you know, put his people that he developed in NXT and let them shine and developed another belt. Like, you know, Triple H gets it. Like, how much of it is Triple H? How much of it is Shawn Michaels developing? How much is it just, you know, maybe merging with TKO?
I'm telling you right now, Seth, Triple H really laid the groundwork for this a couple of years ago, where a lot of people, like, let's just say online fans, were bitching about the main product, but they're like, we love NXT. It's so great.
Yep.
And Triple H spearheaded all of that before he transitioned over to, like, more of the main roster. He was always dealing with the main roster, but it was kind of like now he's, like, full-time main roster, and Shawn Michaels over at NXT. So he really laid the groundwork of what we could expect, telling stories that actually pay off. You know, guy A versus guy B, and you're actually interested. And Triple H executed this perfectly, in my opinion, a couple of years ago, and now we're seeing it over on the main roster.
Oh, man, NXT was, a Velveteen Dream. I know he kind of got, blacklisted and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he was so good. I saw Nakamura's debut against Sami Zayn. I was blown out of the way. The DIY tag team series where, I forgot who they would go against. Then they went up against each other. I mean, that's some great storytelling. I hope those guys, eventually get a push to, I think they're in a six-man tag match or something this weekend.
There's a ladder match that's going on where there's like a six-pack ladder match where they have all these various teams that are going to be, I know we're going to run down the whole card, but they'll be involved in that. But Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, DIY, they really told an incredible story in NXT once they broke up. And I'm kind of hoping, even though we saw that for like 2 years in NXT, I'm like kind of hoping it eventually makes its way to the main roster, maybe. I don't know, maybe wishful thinking.
No, I mean, those guys just have great chemistry, whether they're going against each other or they're a team. So, all right, so let's go down some of the roster. It looks like that they've got the card for night one. They've got the card for night two. Let's just talk about the main event right away. I'm going to tell you that I'm not necessarily feeling seeing Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes wrestle back-to-back nights. Cody Rhodes wins, and so the bloodline's not there. So, like, it's going to be fair. I mean, to me, obviously, you're setting something up, whether you're setting something up for Sunday night or you're setting something up for, down the road, next year WrestleMania. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it feels like they have so much talent that they don't need to have the same guys main event. Where are you at on that?
Well, I really believe that the way that they've built this, I would agree with everything you said. The thing, though, is that how they built it makes me really want to see it, because I truly believe that Cody and Seth are going to lose this match and that we have to see Cody go through all of the obstacles. It's the thing that they did with John Cena years ago. He had to overcome the odds all the time. I think they're going to literally stack the deck against Cody as hard as they can, and for that reason, these two got to intermingle. Because I think if you put, like, let's say Solo Sikoa or somebody with The Rock, I don't think it has the same vibe. They, no. in my mind, they wanted such the biggest attraction that they could put on both nights. And they wanted The Rock there. And The Rock, I feel like putting him with Roman Reigns is really the best move. I would not have thought that, three, 4 months ago before this all played out, because it caught me completely off guard.
But I thought it was going to be The Rock versus Roman the whole time.
Exactly. And the thing, too, is The Rock was on a podcast with Pat McAfee, his show, like a year or two ago. And he was like, they had asked him about if he was going to do Hollywood, the Hollywood WrestleMania. And he had said, like, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this year, something, something. But, like, I want to do something that we've never done before. So he almost, like, foreshadowed what was going to come. And we never, like, we never saw it coming. But, like, I think he had this vision a long time ago, like at least a year or more ago.
So I want to ask you this, because I think this is something that maybe a lot of people are forgetting about, or maybe I just think I'm special because I'm not forgetting it. So WrestleMania two nights, for people that are, trying to understand wrestling, it's Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes headlining the first night versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. If Cody and Seth win, then there's no bloodline ringside. Yeah. If The Rock and Roman win, then the bloodline's going to be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Bloodline rules, where basically it just means there are no rules and there's going to be interference left and right. I think they wanted you to believe that he will not win under any circumstances, so that way when he does, it's like, oh crap, he won.
I mean, I know they've been building Cody ever since Brock Lesnar just turned on him out of nowhere, and they go, okay, they're going to make Cody Rhodes, go the long way to finish this up. So here's what I want to throw your way.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, last night of WrestleMania. Can you see this being a moment where I feel like Roman is going to take a break after this? I feel like Roman might come back at SummerSlam. I feel like Roman's going to take a break. I feel like they need a top-notch heel. I don't know where Gunther's going to go. I think he's going to get in the main title picture. What's happening with Damian Priest and his Money in the Bank? I mean, can you see that being something that he breaks out this weekend?
I don't know if it'll be this weekend, but I do think that he is a guy that you want to position with Cody, because I do, for some reason, I feel like Gunther is going to end up with Seth, if that's presuming that Seth keeps his title after Mania. And I don't even know if that's locked in stone, because Drew has just been on fire with his character, in my opinion. Like, I used to think he was just this boring, smiling guy with a sword, and now he's, like, dropping all these, like, memes and jokes on the internet. So, but it's back to Damian Priest. I feel like he would be a great guy to go against Cody because you need that strong heel, just like you said, and Cody's the white meat babyface, and I wouldn't do anything different with Cody. So, yeah.
I just watched the clip of the documentary that they had on Roman Reigns, and they were showing Roman Reigns backstage after the, 7 years ago, where he fought Brock Lesnar, I think in San Francisco, and Seth Rollins came out, cashed in,
got the
title. And, like, Roman Reigns was, like, legitimately upset backstage, and I'm just wondering if this could be one of those moments where you're like, Is it Roman? Is it Cody? Is it Roman? Is it Cody? And all of a sudden, just a fucking guy comes out of nowhere and just gives a big F you to everybody. I don't know. I don't know how that looks, but I'm excited for something massive to happen.
Well, I'll tell you this. As crazy as that would be, and I don't know that they've heated Damian quite up to where, like, you know, there's a certain level where I think the fans would go, like, holy shit, and they'll, like, lose their minds. But I don't know if he's at that level yet. I think he's more like, if he did that, it would be, like, a lot of heat from the crowd because it's Philly, they're a smart crowd, and if they don't get that Cody win, like, whether it's the Damian thing or if somehow Roman is retaining yet again, that could be, like, the loudest crowd of boos you've ever heard. A ton of heat for that guy.
Well, I mean, what is this thing where we have to get Cody Rhodes the belt? Like, what is it, just because of his dad? Or, like, you know, wrestling is, you know, full of those things where you feel like you're so close and they jerk it right from you, and they either make you wait a couple of years or they just go the complete opposite way with the storyline. This seems so obvious that Cody's gonna win. Now, it also seemed obvious last year, but it seems even more obvious this year. Now, whether The Rock turns and helps him out or something like that, it seems crystal clear, which is why I started throwing in people like Damian Priest, because I don't think it's going to be as cut and dry as maybe some of us think.
You may be onto something there, but I'm telling you right now, I don't know if Triple H wants that crazy, like, nuclear heat reaction if he does anything but Cody, because the thing is, it's like, you tell the story now for 2 years. Like, the first night he came after WrestleMania, when he cut that very first promo 2 years ago, and he was like, you know, I've never held the WWE title, the one that my father, he wanted to hold so bad. And so you don't go that hard for 2 years. You had the guy he tear a pec, and he wrestled in the Hell in a Cell, and he had all that red. Like, he's just, like, come back from adversity. He dealt with the Brock Lesnar feud where it was, like, one-sided up until the end. And I just don't think you put him through all those obstacles if you're not going to finally pay it off. You know, if I had my money in Las Vegas, I mean, I really truly believe he's going to win it.
Is this WWE being hell bent on finding the next John Cena by how they've developed Cody? It's not so much about Cody finishing his story, but it's about Cody being able to carry the company for the next, you know, 5-10 years.
It's a necessity, man. Cause I mean, they've had Roman for so long, and it took them so long to get him in that spot to where we finally look at him and respect him as that guy. And it's a situation where his health is still not 100% either. You know, he's still keeping cancer away. And he mentioned that in the documentary, all the stuff he goes through just to be able to show up. And I think he needs to rest and recharge. And, you know, I mean, hell, I could even see him gone through the end of the year. They're not going to do that. I don't believe they're going to do that. But I think you could do that. He could show up at the Rumble next year, be a surprise, and he's all fresh again. And then I would imagine The Rock and Roman next year at Mania, because I think Rock really wants that moment with his cousin.
And just somebody that we're not forgetting about, you know, the way we kind of talked about Drew McIntyre and stuff, where does CM Punk fit into all this? Like, you know, I don't know if CM Punk's going to necessarily do anything. I saw him come out, but, like, should I be a referee? Should I do commentary? I don't know what he's going to do. Clearly, they still have they're still very much focused on CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, which I think is great, because, like you, I'm a huge Drew McIntyre fan. At first, I didn't get it. It's like, who's this bloke with the sword and the kilt and all this shit? Then I saw him in the ring. When I saw him at, what is it, the lasso at the castle or whatever it was, where he fought Roman Reigns.
Yeah, the Clash of the Castle.
He almost won, and then they came out. He was singing, you know, bye-bye, whatever, at the end. But I was like, this guy's a personality. I think he should have beat Roman Reigns. It would have been a huge pop there for him to win in his homeland. But I love Drew McIntyre, but where do you see CM Punk fitting into things?
Well, I think the McIntyre is a natural feud. I think also if they want to play up some of that old AEW stuff, they can have him and Cody. That's probably more suited for when Punk eventually goes heel, because I know that's inevitable. It's coming at some point. The honeymoon will be over, and they will turn him into a straight heel and just have him going after everybody. But I would like to see him with McIntyre. I think CM Punk and Gunther could be really exciting while CM Punk is still a face. But I think, you know, I feel like Gunther, you know, I feel like his title reign is almost over, because I think they're going to push him up to the next level to be a guy for Seth or Drew. So
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's had those monumental matches with Drew and with Sheamus and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, bring me those guys. I'll watch any single day of the week. But I don't know if it's going to, you know, it might be Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn might get that, you know, wrestle. Didn't they win the tag team championships a couple of years ago or last year at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it was last year at Mania night one, I believe.
Yeah. So yeah. I could see a WrestleMania moment where he beats Gunther. But Gunther is to strictly get him into the main title picture, because he is, I mean, to me, the guy is an absolute beast. You can't take your eyes off him. And if Brock Lesnar truly is done, I mean, I think he's the next closest, you know, thing to being, you know, I don't know, a wonder of the world in wrestling.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I remember back when he was Walter and he wrestled in Progress. He wrestled in NXT UK and then NXT. And he's always just been such a force, whether it's wrestling with a small guy, something that Brock does very well as, you know, being able to work with the smaller guy, have the small guy bounce all around and make him look like an absolute murderer. And he's just always been consistent. He's now in the best shape of his life. I think his character work has really grown exponentially over the last 2-3 years, and especially in the last year. And I think he's going to be that one of those next guys you need to elevate as a monster killer heel.
Absolutely. I agree. Now, what match, night one, night two, doesn't matter, what are you really looking forward to this weekend? Or maybe like kind of like an under the radar match for you, Gary?
I would tell everybody that look out for AJ Styles and LA Knight. I think that one is going to surprise a lot of people.
What do you see happening in that? Because I feel like there was a huge LA Knight movement. It's, I mean, it's still there. They never put the strap on the guy or anything like that. He was so close. Everybody thought he was going to win Money in the Bank. People were saying, like, he's a flash in the pan. Like, you know, I thought the guys are around now. But AJ Styles, it feels like he's just been taking L's for a long time. Like, is AJ Styles about to get elevated again? What do you see coming out of it?
I mean, I really think his recent work as a heel has been a lot better than some of the stuff he did probably 2 and 3 years ago as a babyface, or some of the stuff with like Gallows and Anderson or whatever. That was like an act that was like really cool 10 years ago and now not quite as cool. LA Knight, though, I see him. He's one of the guys I'm going to make a super early prediction for the draft. I think he's a guy that you move over to Raw sometime in like the summer or the fall, whenever they do it. And then he can go after that world heavyweight title, because I think Cody's going to be tied up with the WWE Universal title for, I hope he keeps it for at least a year, as much as they've been making us wait for this. So I would move LA.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A night over to Raw and have him be a contender for the World Heavyweight title and have him inevitably win it at some point, because he does deserve, I think, a really big run. He's put in a ton of work, and he's really grown so much over the last year or so.
You think maybe since the IC strap was coming off Gunther now, that maybe that could be something that's in play for LA Knight and maybe not the heavyweight championship right away?
Yeah, I think the Intercontinental title is a great thing. I think, and especially if Sami Zayn's going to stay over on Raw, and then if LA Knight moves over, those guys could have some really fun matches together. A little bit different styles, but I think that they'll mesh well very nicely. And LA Knight, he needs a title. That's what he needs. He's, you know, he can go around and cut the promos, and he's been doing some fun work with AJ as far as building up the home invasion angle and all that stuff.
That was
the body cam footage. It actually looked like real body cam footage.
I love it. They're trying new things. You know, it's not all great, but I appreciate that they're trying new things, you know?
Have you seen, just a quick sidebar, have you seen some of the clips on Twitter of some of the new, like, cinematic shit they've been doing where, like, they'll follow a guy all the way backstage out to the ring?
Yeah.
That's some excellent work. I mean, it's so much better than camera cut, camera cut, camera cut, camera cut. They're doing some really good visual work there.
I think now that Vince McMahon's out of the picture, then I think they can finally start having some freedom around there. Can I give you one of the matches that I'm looking forward to? Well, maybe not the match per se, but just what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Hit me.
I am a huge Bianca Belair mark, and in turn, from learning about her over the last, I don't know, year and a half, Jade Cargill, absolutely amazing. You could tell the second that WWE signed Jade that, you know, her versus Bianca was going to be something that's probably going to be next WrestleMania. But to have them team up with Naomi and just the way they're pointing at, you know, they're going to obviously beat Damage Control, and, you know, whether somebody turns on somebody, I don't know. But women's wrestling right now, man, it's like Ronda Rousey came out the other day. She was chirping about how she didn't like it and all this other stuff. But, man, the women right now seem like, it's almost like women's basketball. It's like, it's almost as good as the guys, because that Bayley AO Sky story is really, really good too. And you know, Bayley's going to win the championship too this weekend.
She better. I mean, they haven't really, I mean, they've had a good story on TV, but as far as like, she's been absent from like the promo posters and things on like social media, and people have been pointing it out. And even CM Punk, he posted in the story one time, like he like photoshopped her into the poster, I think over Bianca's head of all people. And I think that match deserves more love, and I think that they will definitely deliver. But the women, just in general, it's been such a great thing on the WWE side. I mean, really all the companies are having a lot of good women, but I think Jade Cargill is gonna be the one to watch. I love Bianca's work, and when she did that WrestleMania main event with Sasha Banks, this would have been 3 years ago, I think. I
mean, yeah, it's a few years ago,
the Tampa one, right? I think it might have been the Tampa one.
Yeah
And seeing those two together, that match is going to fucking slap. I'm ready for that one.
I think, too, bringing in Jade is brilliant. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley this weekend, but there is really, outside of Nia Jax, there's really not a lot of solid competition for Rhea Ripley, you know, and they don't need to really go. They don't really need to go the route of China where you have her wrestling other men. But Rhea Ripley versus, you know, Bianca, Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill. I mean, there's a lot of people for Rhea to go against right now, whenever Charlotte Flair comes back. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how that plays out. One thing I wanted to ask you, Uso versus Uso. We know this is going to happen for a while. People are saying this should open up night one. I don't think it should get lost in the mix at all. So having it open the show makes sense. Do you think that match is going to somehow play into the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes storyline or ending?
In what way? Could you give me
just
an
like
example?
as far as it plays? Like, I can't see anybody beating main event Jey Uso, right?
Yeah, I think he's gonna win the match.
Okay, so I'm just wondering what happens at the end. Do they hug? Do they embrace? Does he pull his brother out of the bloodline? Like, you know, I'm just wondering. Like, to me, it's not over after their match. So I just want to know: are they just gonna end up wrestling four or five more times over the next, you know, few months, or is there a resolution where those guys end up getting back together, or are they just solo for the time being?
My gut tells me they're going to keep them separated, but I think this would be a nice chance to give them nearly 20 minutes, let them tear down the house. So they have the credentials. I mean, dude, when they were the Uso tag team of 3-4 years ago, they were great. I mean, I really enjoyed their work, and I think it'd be nice if they could like hug and embrace, almost kind of like when Brett and Owen got back together years and years ago. God, I'm really showing my age. But I think if you have those two embrace, and it'd almost be cool because, like, if, you know, assuming they're going to interfere in the Roman Cody match on night two, Roman thinks that they're on his side, but actually they're on Cody's side, because I think there's gonna be a big betrayal there. I don't know exactly word for word how it'll go, but, you know, whether it's The Rock betraying Roman or the Usos betraying Roman, or just the fact that Roman loses and The Rock maybe says, well, this is my bloodline now, I'm taking over, big injury angle, takes him out and we don't see him again for however long. But I like to see the Usos embrace. I'd like to see them, you know, get back together in some capacity.
Me too. And I heard his schedule's only open until May. So I don't know I don't know if he's going to be staying around for a while or what. You know, he's got the XFL. I'm sure he's going to be doing movies again. It's great that he cleared out his schedule to, you know, do this. But I can't, if The Rock turned on Roman, that's cool. But it's weird to turn on Roman and then both those guys be gone for, like, you know, the next 8 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, The Rock is somebody where, like, he doesn't, and he won't, but he doesn't need to be like a wrestler. I think that if he somehow found it in his schedule to either record pre-tapes that look like he's there somehow or something like that, and he shows up once a month live or something like that, because I might regret this later because they might just wear it out to death, but this Final Boss stuff, dude, I am like all over it. I know some people are like, oh, it's old Rock, he repeats himself, Mama Rhodes and all this stuff, but I think it's some of the best promo work he has done, period. Like, it's so intense, and like, you almost fear the man when you look at him.
Do you think The Rock is like, was hell bent on bringing, like, I know, you know, not a lot of people think he's the best actor, but do you think he was hell bent on bringing, like, what he's learned, you know, in Hollywood to WWE now and trying to, like, step it up a little bit?
Well, I think it's part that, and part that he, you know, now that he has some sort of like real ownership in the company, he has that almost like permission to kind of just take it up just a little bit. And not that he couldn't before, because, you know, believe me, I think when he shows up to any show years ago and like he just shows up and does whatever he wants, that's what my belief is based on how those segments would go. But I think now that he has some actual ownership and some more flex, and you don't have the old man there who shoots down, it seems like, everything, I think that he was like, we really need to turn up the intensity. And I know Triple H has always said in interviews, like, when people would ask about the Attitude Era and how come you don't do all this crazy stuff, cussing and blood and all this. And he's like, you know, I'm not 100% against it, but I don't think we need to have it all the time and everything. I think you use it only when the story truly needs that to elevate it just a little bit. And so he has said even years ago, he was cool with it. So when you take those two personalities and they're collaborating together, I think this is what we get. And I'm pretty pleased with it.
I love The Rock. I don't want to like pick him apart, but I think the Mama Rhodes, I told you, there's blood on the belt, Mama Rhodes. I was like, what, the kid out of here, Mama Rhodes? So Mama Rhodes is probably going to be front and center at WrestleMania.
She's probably slapping the shit out of him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a Mama Rhodes high spot there. All right, so two questions for you, Gary. One is there anything else? What do you want to see this weekend? Is there a surprise? Is it a match? Is it something around the streets of Philadelphia? Like, or is it just Cody winning? Like, what would fulfill you coming out of WrestleMania weekend as a wrestling fan?
Cody winning. I was there at WrestleMania 30 when Bryan Danielson won the title and everybody was clamoring for it. So I got to feel that energy. This is a similar energy, although the company is actually behind Cody. They're not trying to like shut him down at every turn, because that was like a crazy build where like he cut all of his best promos not on TV, so it's like he wouldn't be able to get over with the crowd, even though he was still organically did, and it ended up being amazing. So I would like to just see that. That is, to me, if that one thing happens, I'm good. The tag team match I am very excited for, just because WrestleMania 1 had a tag match. I think I would argue the stars involved in this one 40 years later are way bigger, but maybe with the exception of Hulk Hogan, I guess he's probably the biggest star of all time, but The Rock can compete with that. So just seeing kind of that whole bloodline, Cody finishing the story thing playing out, and I'm sure it's been rumors about Cena and Austin showing up, being involved in that specifically. Like, Rock was beating up Cody in front of that truck where they were sitting out on the truck, and
doesn't that seem crazy though? Like, did that all of a sudden John Cena and Stone Cold insert themselves into the bloodline? See, I mean, like, I know we'd all love to see it, but yeah, I saw it on Twitter. Like, WWE doesn't do anything on accident. I get it. That, yeah. You know, they might have had there. Maybe it was a complete accident, but Stone Cold isn't fighting anybody. Like, he might come out and put somebody in a stunner, but, you know, to me, his last match or whatever he did with Kevin Owens was fucking brilliant.
So, yeah, it was a hell of a way to go out. I mean, I just think, like, in the context of, like, let's say Rock's beating Cody down with the belt. This is night two, by the way. I'm thinking, like, he's beating him down with the belt. He's a bloody mess. He lays down Roman, his arm on top of his chest, and it's a slow one, two, glass breaks. You know what I mean?
Dude, that'd be too much to handle. That'd be too much to handle with this.
I would lose my mind.
I mean, it'd be really tying in a couple of generations. Yeah, I would love to see Stone Cold come out. Now, do you see something happening, as we sit here record this on Wednesday, do you see something happening on SmackDown that potentially makes Cody versus Roman like a no-holds-barred kind of match? That way you can get all the interference from everybody.
Well, I think the way you set that up is Cody needs to show up super strong on Friday. I mean, he got his ass beat last night, and you know, that has been the constant theme throughout the last few weeks. It's been him getting his ass kicked so that when he shows up to Mania and he wins, it's going to mean more. But he needs to get the upper hand on the guys Friday and really beat them down to show that he is a legitimate threat. And, you know, maybe use some weapons to set up, like you're talking, like a no-holds-barred kind of deal, and kind of establish that, like pick a particular, like a chair or something that he has with him and that you identify with him in that particular battle. And then boom, he pulls out that chair Sunday, you know, and things like that, tying it together between Friday and Sunday.
What are you, if Goldust came out, would he get a pop at all? Or people be like, what the hell is going on here?
I think he would get a pop. I think, okay. You know who I think would get a bigger pop? I don't think he signed though, is MJF. Cause I've been seeing a lot of people talking about, like, man, if this guy shows up, that would be absolutely nuts. And I think he quietly re-signed last year, but they took him off the website and everything, I guess, to sell it.
Is he off the website?
Yeah.
I mean, they might be working us, though, man. Like, you know.
They probably are. They probably are.
MJF, I mean, to me, I mean, guy's a stud. I haven't even really watched any of his matches. I've just seen his promo work. I've seen his stuff online. He's only like 26 or 27. You can tell. He's the absolute future, and hopefully he gets into WWE sooner than later. But he seems like a really loyal guy. He seems like he's really, really okay with carrying AEW when he's there. He seems like he's very proud of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he really came into his own last year doing babyface work of all things, and I think he did it so well, and I was always waiting for him to go back and turn heel, but he never quite did, and I'm okay with it. But I think that if he actually somehow is out of his contract, and he shows up, that would be like the big pop. I think Dustin would also get a big pop as well, but MJF, that would be the one. That would be like the wild prediction, like, you know, something that you'd go down to Las Vegas and throw $1,000. That'd be like a crazy, insane bet.
Man, I can't even see CM Punk and MJF and Cody Rhodes. Oh my God, Tony Khan would throw himself in a blender. All right, now you're going to be at WrestleMania. You're going to be at Philadelphia. What do you have? I know the fan fest experiences, they're expensive. You have to wait in line for 9 hours to get an autograph from Omos. Like, you know, tell me, what are you planning on doing this weekend and partaking in any of the festivities?
Well, aside from the main shows, I will do one of those meet and greet sessions because they're always kind of fun just to, like, people watch and meet the wrestlers. And they always have these cool displays, like all this classic memorabilia that you can't see anywhere else. Like, when I was in New York back in 2019, they actually had the original WrestleMania 1 ring set up, and you got to walk up in the ring and kind of like run the ropes and take a picture. And they even have like an entrance tunnel you can come out of. You can do like commentary where you work with one of the NXT commentators and you pick a match from the main roster. And it's a cool experience for sure. And I always look forward to doing that, of course. Getting some great cheese steaks and all that stuff. Of course, that's all on the menu. And the tailgate, like of the before the WrestleMania in the stadium parking, that is always like a wild thing. Like, I had guys giving me Jello shots one time when I was doing a live remote thing on my old internet show, and getting Jello shots and all kinds of other drinks, and just talking to these people,
guys
going crazy.
A lot of guys cosplaying as wrestlers at these tailgate parties.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are really good. Some of them are not so good. But, yeah, it's crazy, dude.
Do you know who you're going to meet this weekend at the meet and greet at all? You won't know until you get there.
I will not know until I get there. I know they post the schedule, but I intentionally did not look at it because I want to be surprised.
Oh, okay. Let's hope it's somebody worth waiting for.
I hope so. It would really suck if it was just like, I mean, I can't even think of a really shitty, I don't want to insult anybody too much.
I know, but,
yeah.
I know. But I know what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. Did we cover it all, man?
I think we got all the really high spots because the other matches, I mean, they'll be entertaining, but they're not quite like the marquee stuff. I mean, like the Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, that should be a good one. But the other ones are kind of like, you know, they don't have like big stories behind them.
Who's getting the belt in the Logan Paul match? Randy Orton, do you think?
Yeah, I think Randy Orton's due, you know? I think it would be his time. Kevin, you know, Kevin's also really good, but I think Randy's the bigger star, and I think that he hasn't had a belt since he tagged with Riddle. So maybe a nice singles U.S. title run for him, and then Logan will probably take a break and come back in the summer, I would guess.
Yeah, Logan probably takes a break. I wonder if they get a program going with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens or something like that. So, and you know,
that could be fun.
Get Paul out of the picture. All right, let me ask you this. Last question. The Andre the Giant, you know, Battle Royal Memorial, that's Jobber Fest, isn't it, man? Like, I mean, yeah. I like that they want everybody to be a part of WrestleMania, but it just doesn't. It's just sad. I know those guys get a paycheck and they're part of WrestleMania, but it doesn't do anything, man. It makes me feel sad.
It hasn't meant anything. Well, I was going to say since the first one, but the first one didn't even mean anything. So it's
Baron
not like
Corbin win one when they were trying to put him over.
He did. I think Cesaro won one at one point. But none of these guys ever went on to be, like, you know, big-time stars. Like, it wasn't like it was like they won it and then they got a title shot and they elevated. Like, it never happened.
They should do something with that because other than that, you're just putting every guy in the locker room in there. And like I said, I appreciate that they let those guys participate in WrestleMania. I just think they got to look at that a little bit harder because to me, it's just killing time and letting guys, you know, participate. So...
Well, they're putting it on SmackDown Friday, so that should be fun.
Oh, really? So it's on a WrestleMania thing?
Yeah, it's going to be on. They're actually doing it on Friday, and they're also doing the Hall of Fame on Friday as well, which I will be there too as well. But the class has not really been super stellar, in my opinion. I mean, Paul Heyman. I mean, that would be fun to listen to him talk for an hour. But
I will say I'm excited that Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham got into the Hall of Fame this year. I worked with. And Mike Rotunda, you know, Bray Wyatt's dad, you know, Wyndham Rotunda, and Taylor Rotunda, who's Bo Dallas also, Uncle Howdy and all that. I worked with their sister, Micah Rotunda. I worked with her at the Bone, and she did a lot of stuff. And I met Bray a couple of times. I met Taylor a couple of times. I met Mike Rotunda a couple of times. Mike Rotunda, scary guy. He likes to keep himself a chip, but I mean, very, like, intimidating. Bray Wyatt, Wyndham. I was working on a project with him and his sister to record a podcast. And it was going to be like a family podcast with Micah, the sister, with Bray Wyatt, and with Bo Dallas, you know? Right. And I went over to Bray's house one day. We recorded an episode. I was sat there for hours, like, because Bo Dallas had to go to the fucking dispensary or something like that. And I like hung out with Wyndham Man all day and his sister, and we recorded an episode. It's never seen the light of day at all. After he passed, hey, what's up, buddy? After he passed, I sent it to Micah and told her, that's Gary. We're talking about Bianca Belair. Yeah. And after he passed, I sent it to her. She hasn't listened to it yet, but maybe I should send it to you, man. He's a good storyteller. So imagine him sitting down talking about, you know, growing up and all the trouble that he got into. So
I would love to check that out, man. Definitely.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So pink one or gold. Just here, take one, and then we'll get you dinner. So, okay, let me finish up here, okay? We're talking about WrestleMania.
Can you talk about it with me?
Well, yeah. Are you looking forward to seeing anybody this weekend? Wrestling? You're going blank, Donnie. I know we're going to be in Pittsburgh, but I'm saying, like, are you looking forward to seeing, like, Jade Cargill?
Uh-oh.
Bayley?
Or Bianca?
Bianca?
Yeah.
What about Rhea Ripley? Scary?
Scary.
Okay. What about Becky Lynch?
Yeah.
She's cool? And you like any of the boys?
No.
Okay. She doesn't like the boys at all. All right. Perfect. Well, listen, man. I think this was great, man. You did an awesome job. Sorry I didn't have my microphone plugged in. And I'm looking forward to the next one, probably post-WrestleMania.
I'm excited. I'll be here, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.